Parshas Chayes Torah. I'd like to discuss today, maybe for a few minutes, the very first parsha that we find in this week's Sedra is the Kvura of Sorrow. And we note, first and foremost, the Torah seems to be marish, tells us all the details at great length of the whole backwards and forwards, Avram, Ephraim, the Bnei Chais, the location of the land, the price of the land, all of the details of this business transaction are spelled out for us, and there clearly must be a limud in this, otherwise the Torah could simply have written, Sarah passed away, Avram Avinu bought a piece of land and buried her, and that would be that. But clearly the Torah obviously wants us to know the various protim of this maaseh so we can learn something from it. Now, Chazal tell us, and this gives us a little bit of a hint, the Gemara Bava Basra tells us in Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, that Eoiv actually commented, and he said that when Avraham Avinu wanted to find a kvura for Sarah, leimotza mokoyim lekavra, initially he couldn't find a place to bury her, meaning at first he couldn't just take Ma'aras HaMachpelah. And nonetheless, Eoiv points out, we do not find that Avraham Avinu at any point in the story complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or complained to anyone for that matter. After all, Ma'aras HaMachpelah was really his by rights. And yet, we do not find, despite all the difficulties in this story, that Avraham Avinu complained at all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Ephraim, to the Bnei Chais. So therefore, this is already a little bit of an opening. Clearly, we're supposed to learn something from this particular point, that throughout the whole dealings with Ephraim, we don't find any point of complaint or bitterness in Avraham. More so, as we famously know, the Mishnah tells us in Avos that Avraham Avinu had 10 nisyonos. Almost all, but not quite all, most Rishonim learn, unsurprisingly, that what was the last, the tenth and final Nisroyim? The Akedas Yitzchok. Surely there will be no Nisroyim that could outdo the Akedas Yitzchok. Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu at the end of the last parasha, I now see, Ato Yodati, Ki Yore, Elohim Ato, what could possibly eclipse that? Now for many are of the opinion that really was, as it were, the grand finale. But Rabbeinu Yoina, there on the Mishnah in Avos, does not learn that way. And he says that actually the Akedas Yitzchok was the ninth Nisayim, not the tenth. Even though Rabbeinu Yoina himself writes there, that undoubtedly the Nisayim was the greatest Nisayim was the Akeda. So what is the tenth? So he says the Kvuras Soro is the tenth Nisayim. So clearly this needs to be explained. What exactly was it that Avraham Avinu was being tested? So as we mentioned, if the Gemara tells us that he never complained, then clearly that was the point of test. Apparently he could have complained, and he could have claimed, listen, Ma'aras HaMachpelah is mine anyway, and we don't find that he complained. So this is really what we need to explain. What is it exactly that was the point of this Nisayon? And perhaps more importantly, what can we learn in our day-to-day avodah from the Nisayon of Kvuras Sorrow? So I'd like to share with you an approach that I heard from my Mashiach in Gateshead, Rabbi Motri Yosef Karnosky Shlita. I did not hear this from him whilst I led in yeshiva. I recently heard a recording of a shiur that actually he gave in London a few years ago. And he in turn was quoting Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. But it sounds like from the way he was describing it, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, although he said the Yisoid, but the Mashkiach, Reb Chanosky, introduced the Yisoid. And most of what we're going to say tonight is really based on his shiur. In order to understand the nature of the Nisayon, which as I mentioned is the first parasha in Chayei Sarah, we need to turn the clock back a little bit and understand a bit more about Avraham Avinu's life, specifically Parshas Lech Lecha and Vayera. Because undoubtedly, if we were to be asked, what was the dominant middah? What was Avraham Avinu most famous for? Of course, we would all say Chesed. Chesed l'Avram. Avram Avinu was the Amud HaChesed. Undoubtedly. In fact, so much so, I saw this week a fascinating Shem Mishmul. This is just in parenthesis, but just to bring out the point. In the beginning of the parasha, it says, Vayovoy Avram. Avram came to give a Chesed for Sarah. And on those words, Vayovoy, the Medrash asks, Meheichon bo, where did he come from? That's the question of the Medrash, and there's various opinions. So I saw that the Shem Shmuel quotes in the name of his father, who's the Avnei Nezer, a phenomenal pshat. Do you know what that means, Meheichon bo? If I tell you that somebody came from A to B, I'm describing his geographical location. So if I say that he came to B, if I say he came to Beit Shemesh, then one thing I know, that he wasn't in Beit Shemesh until this point. I don't know where he was, but he certainly wasn't in Beit Shemesh, because if he was in Beit Shemesh, you can't say that he came to Beit Shemesh. So the Avnei Nezer says a phenomenal pshat. When it says by Yomre Avraham, and Chazal say, where did he come from? It doesn't mean to ask, where was he located? What is the geographical interest here? Where was he in point one and point two? That's all the Medrash means. Do you know what it means? Says the Avnei Nezer, burying sorrow was an act of chesed, undoubtedly. Avraham Avinu can never come to do chesed, because he's always involved in chesed. We're not describing his geographical location. Vayavoy Lisvoy Vesor, Vayavoy Avraham sounds like he came to do chesed. Says the Avnei Nezer, that's the question of the Medrash. What do you mean he came to do chesed? He never left chesed in the first place. He was involved in chesed 24-7 his entire lifetime. Therefore, somebody who's always involved in chesed, it doesn't make sense to say he came to do chesed. He never left chesed in the first place. That was the question of the Medrash. What was the answer of the Medrash? The Shem Mishmul discusses. But either way, that clearly brings out the point that Avraham Avinu, of course, was the Amud HaChesed. He never left Chesed. That was his life's work, the Avodah of Chesed. And the very important question, and this is really the point that we'd like to discuss tonight, is what does that mean that Avraham Avinu was the Amud HaChesed? Does that mean that nobody ever performed chesed before Avraham Avinu came to the scene? Difficult to suggest. And what's more, not only is it difficult to suggest, it's actually not true. Chazal, for example, and we'll mention this medrash shortly, says quite clearly that Noach in the Teva and his children were involved in chesed during the whole duration of the novel. So clearly the concept of chesed existed, predated Avraham Avinu. So what does it mean that he was the Amud HaChesed? Merely to suggest that, yes, he did more Chesed wouldn't make him the Amud HaChesed. He clearly must have redefined the concept of Chesed. And that's why the whole notion of Chesed is called Chesed L'Avram. That's why he became the Amud HaChesed. And this is what we have to now try and work out. What was it that Avraham Avinu was Mechadesh in the middle of Chesed? Chesed predated Avraham Avinu. What was he machadish? And the answer to this is to be found in a Rambam. I want you to explain the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Yud Dalet of Hilchas Avelos says as follows. There are several mitzvahs of Chesed, says the Avraham Avinu, says the Rambam. What are they? Bikur Chayim, Nichum Avelim, Lohitzi Hameis, etc., etc., etc. All of these are considered acts of chesed. That's halacha aleph. Now listen to what he says in halacha base. Schar halavoya, accompanying somebody, not giving him food or money, accompanying him, meruba min hakoil. That is the greatest act of chesed you could possibly do. And here come the crucial words. The Hu Hachoik Shechokokoi Avraham Avinu. Now the word choik doesn't always mean a statute that we don't understand. When we said in Davening, Vatalamdein Chukei Chaim, it means a way of life, an engraved statute forever. Hu hachoik shechokakoy avor avinu v'derech hachesed shenohag bo. The way that Avraham Avinu conducted chesed was with levoya. He accompanied people. That is Avraham Avinu's chiddush in chesed. And the Rambam goes on to explain. He says, ma'achil oivrei drachim. He used to give to eat wayfarers, guests. Umashka oisam. Used to give them to drink. Umelave oisam. But that wasn't enough. He didn't stop there, but rather he accompanied them. And he says, "V'gedoyel achnasas orchem." It's true, achnasas orchem is very, very great. It's even greater than greeting the Shechinah. How do we know that, by the way? From last week's parasha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu was talking to Avram.
Yeah.
The guests arrive, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Avram Avinu, the son, he says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, if you wouldn't mind, just stay here for a moment. I'm going to tend to the guests." And from here we learn, achnasas orchem is greater than, as it were, greeting the Shechinah. Says the Rambam, and he brings that pasuk with Avraham Avinu, he says, but nonetheless, the levoyah, but accompanying the guests out, that's even greater than bringing them in the first place. So now, the Rambam has taught us a tremendous yisod. That Avraham Avinu's chiddush, what was his chiddush in chesed? It's true chesed was always done. What was he in chadish? Levoyah. In fact, there's a very famous remez. In last week's parasha, remember the famous remez? Vayita Eshel. Avraham Avinu planted an Eshel. What does Chazal say? What does Eshel stand for? Aleph, Shin, Lamed. Achila, Shtia, Levoya. Vayita Eshel, he planted an Eshel. Achila, Shtia, Levoya. In fact, when the Rambam initially lists out all the mitzvahs of Chesed, he doesn't call it Achnasas Orchim. He says, Bikrochaylim Nechmavelim, the lil voice, the la voice for Orchim, accompanying the guests. Apparently, there is something crucially significant about Levoya, and that was Avraham Avinu's Chesed. That was Avraham Avinu's Chesed. Now, on the Rambam there is a pirish on the page. If you open up a Rambam, you'll see a pirish, and it's called Migdal Ois. The Migdal Ois, without so much as explaining, but he brings a phenomenal source to the Rambam. We remember the story. What happens in the story? Avraham Avinu is greeting the guests. He didn't know they were Malachim. He thought they were Oved Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there first, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, please, if you don't mind, is that okay if I attend to the guests? Fine, so he attends to the guests. If you look later on in that very parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Avraham Avinu, and he's telling him that he's going to have a baby boy, Yitzchak. And then all of a sudden it says, for Avraham Holach, Avraham Avinu leaves HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Shalchom to go and accompany his guests out. It doesn't say there that he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu permission. Why not? First time round, he did. When he had to bring in the guests in, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Nol Tavor, please, is that okay? Don't leave. But when he was accompanying the guests out, he never did. So the Migdal Ois, again, without explaining, what do you see? This is what Avraham Avinu understands. Levoya is greater than Hachnosa. So bringing in guests warrants, as it were, letting HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait, then certainly accompanying guests. So apparently you see from the Pesukim that accompanying guests is extra special. Extra special. And that was the Eshel, Achila, Shtia, Levoya. Now if you want to hear something absolutely frightening, there was a story in the times of the Vilna Goyen. In the times of the Vilna Goyen, there's a very wealthy individual who was well known as being a tremendous Machnis Oirach. Many guests were taken good care of in his home, and one day his home burned down. And then he asked the question, how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do this to him? And the Vilna Goyen was Megala, but it's true. This Gvir, he gives all his guests to eat, and he gives them to drink, but he doesn't accompany them out. Do you know what that means? You have Eshel without the Lamed, and if you're left with Ish. Frightening story. You have the Aleph, the Achila, the Shin, the Shia, but there's no accompanying Lamed. It wasn't the love of the guest, you're left with Ish. In this shiur that Rav Karnofsky said, in fact he described, he said when he was a bocher in the yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael, in the Mir, before he went back to England on one occasion, he went to ask for a bracha from a stipler. He asked the stipler God for a bracha. So he went to the stipler, and as he left, the stipler was already towards the end of his life, an elderly man, and as this bocher, Rav Moshe Yosef Karnofsky, left, all of a sudden he hears like this difficult shuffling behind him. And he looks around, and horror of horrors, he sees the stipler's got up from his seat and accompanying to the front door and out of the front door. So Karnofsky turned around and says, "It's okay, please, you felt bad." And so the stipler started yelling at him. He says, "What do you mean? It's a mitzvah. The Gemara says you have to do it on the right. I'm not for kind of mitzvahs. That's the Eishel. That's the Eishel." So, of course, although the Rambam has taught us a tremendous yisoid, that what was Avraham Avinu mechadesh in chesed? Levoy. Of course, we need to understand what is so special about the Torah. We, I think, would have all perhaps have said the achila and the shvia is more important. The poor fellow's coming, starving, hungry, and thirsty. You give him food. You come to him out. Very nice. He's more macro about the food. What is so significant about the levoya? And the yisoid of the levoya is to be found in the Maharal. And the Maharal tells us the following in Sotah. And this is really the story, and this helps us understand all of Avraham Avinu's lifetime's work of chesed. And this is the story. When somebody knocks on your door, starving, hungry, thirsty, so I give him something to eat, I give him something to drink. Why do I do that? I feel compassion for him. He's a needy person. Never, he hasn't eaten all day, he hasn't drunk all day. So I'm going to take care of his needs. Why? Because I have rachmanas for him. When I accompany him out the front door, he's no longer needy. He doesn't need anything. He's been fed. He's been given to drink. So do you know what levoya is? Levoya is nothing to do with rachmanas. Levoya is giving him covered. It's giving him covered. You machabed the person. You are recognizing that you warrant covered. Whoever you may be. The lowest to the highest. Imagine you had a very big Adam Chosh. Imagine Rav Chaim Kanievsky would come to your house. And he ate a meal with you, and at the end, he bids you farewell, and you say to him, "Yeah, Rav Chaim, you'll find the door. It's on the left, turn right. I'm sure you'll make your way out." Chas v'shalom. An Adam Chosh, you're malava to the door, and out the door. There's halachas, how far you have to malava somebody. Not because he's needy, he doesn't need anything. My rachmanus is perhaps what drove me to give him food and drink. But levoya is something altogether different. Avraham Avinu's chiddush in chesed was that chesed is not just taking care of people's needs because I have compassion on you. What is it? It's the recognition that there's a human being over here. A human being is not an animal. A human being is a tzelem Elohim. And if he's a Tzelem Elohim, what does Tzelem mean? He is a reflection, as it were, an image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He therefore deserves Kavod. This is what it means, Kavod Habrius. That was Avraham Avinu's Chiddush in Chesed. And that's what the Rambam means. Schar HaLevoya Meruba Min HaKoyel. Why is that greater than everything? Because you're not just taking care of his needs out of Rachmanas. Nebuch. He must be so hungry. I'll take care of your needs. No, no, no. This is much greater than that. It's the recognition that standing in front of me is a Tzelem Elohim. A human being. He has to be treated with dignity as an Adam Choshev. And that's why I accompany him out like I would do to any Adam Choshev. And in fact, everything we've said is Dvorim Mefurashim in a Medrash. A Mefurash in a Medrash. And we referred to this before. The Medrash says, Avraham Avinu met the son of Noach. The son of Noach was Shem. Shem ben Noach. And he says to him, "Tell me, Ketzad Yotzasem min HaTeva. How did you leave the Teva?" Now he didn't mean, how did you get out? We opened the door and we left. He didn't mean that. He meant, obviously, what was your zechus to be saved? So he said to him, "Bitzdoka she'asinu shom," because we did tzedaka in the teva. So Avraham Avinu said to him, "Uma tzedaka asisem b'teva?" I don't understand. Which tzedaka did you do in the teva? V'chi aniim hayu shom? Were there poor people in the teva? The only people in the Teva was Nayach, your father, your brothers, your wife. Well, who did you do tzedakah to? So he said, we did tzedakah who with? Habehema, Hachaya, Va'if. He says, we never slept. We all know the famous Rashi. Nayach, one day, got up a little bit late, feeding the lion, got terribly punished for it. We didn't sleep day or night. We were doing chesed 24/7. Who with? Don't know what I'm here with the animals. Says Avraham Avinu, I say sure. At that moment, Avraham Avinu said, isn't that a phenomenal thing? These people did tzedakah with who? With animals. And look how great that was considered. That was their ticket to life. That was the key to their survival. Ani, says Avraham Avinu, im ani e'eseh v'bnei Adam, I'm going to do chesed, not to animals. To Bnei Adam, Shehem B'tzal Moishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Allah has come over, come on. Can you imagine how great that will be? And you know how the Medrash concludes? Oisei Shor, at that moment, Vayita Eishel Achila Shpia Levon. So there it is. Everything we've just said is Mufurish in the Medrash, and that could well be a Makoyer for the Rambam. The Rambam says, Levoya is greater than everything. How do you see it's greater? That's what you see. Avraham Avinu was Mechadish. Chesed, Shem, and Noach, they also did Chesed. But who too? Animals. There's no Indian in being Mechabed an animal. You have to have Rachmonos for an animal. There's an Issa. Perhaps an Issa Deiraisa of Tzar Balechayim. That's true. But an animal is not an image of God. So therefore, my relationship, as it were, my rachmanus to the animal is because he's needy. And if he needs to be fed, so I'll feed him, and he needs drink, I'll give him drink. But the Indian of kovod, levoya, doesn't exist. If we treat our guests like animals, then we give them a chilon shtiyah. Avraham Avinu was mechadesh that our guests are human beings, and they have to be treated as such. And the truth of the matter is, once Avraham Avinu was mechadesh that you got to treat your guest as a human being and the respect and the dignity that he deserved, then his achila and shpia was different as well. When he gave his guest to eat and drink, that also wasn't out of compassion. Look at the way he spoke to the malachim. We remember from last week's parasha, what did he call the malachim the whole time? My master. Why was he called my master? Because they were malachim? He didn't know they were malachim. He thought they were lowly Arabs, Eidavid Azara. This is before, ever before he's accompanying them. Even when he was giving them to eat and drink, his achila v'shtia was also done with their achkovit. The Altar of Slobodka points out, the Psukim say quite clearly, he shechted three animals for the three guests. Now one animal would have sufficed, clearly. What he was showing them was that each guest is so choshev, it's kedai for me to shech an animal just for each guest. Even when he's doing yachila mashpia, he's relaying the same message, how choshev you are, how choshev you are. In fact, it says in the pasuk, v'sa'adu libchem. What does it mean, v'sa'adu libchem? Normally in the pasuk it always talks about levovachem. Levovachem. Why in Shema, for example, say Levovacha? Two bases. The answer is because we have two hearts. Well, as Chazal say, we have two Yitzharim, a Yitzharah and a Yitzharah Tov, and Malachim don't. If we didn't say Levavchen, it says Libchem. That's what Rashi says there. So it's the obvious question. That's all very nice, but Avraham Avinu didn't know they were Malachim. Says the Maral, it's true, but he treated them as such nonetheless. That's why he addressed them, Libchem, as if you're a Malach. His whole approach to Chesed didn't just reflect itself in the element of Levoya. It spilled over to the Achila and the Shpia. You know, the story is told that Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, the great Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, Baal Mechaber Eben Ozel, on one occasion, a member of his family looking out the window and could see in the distance that a visitor is approaching, and you wouldn't believe it, it's none other than the Briskerov. Which wasn't an unusual thing. Briskerov sometimes came to visit Rav Issa Zalman. So they went back into the house and they told Rav Issa Zalman, the Briskerov is on his way. Oh, Briskerov. He dressed into his Shabbos clothes. They set the table, Shabbos, everything is ready. The Hagar Briskerov is coming to visit. The Rebbe Sazal was inside the house. All of a sudden there's a knock at the door. The door's opened. And it wasn't the Bris Terol after all. Case of mistaken identity. It wasn't him. Somebody obviously looked like him. They told Rebbe Zalman there's been a bit of a mistake. It wasn't the Bris Terol. Say that no problem, bringing him in. And Rebbe Zalman gave him mamash kavod malachim. He still kept on his Shabbos clothes. And he gave him all the Shabbos cutlery and the food. When the guest left, they asked him and they said, Rebbe Zalman, it wasn't the Bris Terol after all. It wasn't that he drank like a melech, but very nice, but he wasn't. So Mr. Solomon said this very point. He said, the truth is, we should really be mechabed every guest like that. Every guest is a son of a king. Practically, it's not possible. I can't change it if my shalos goes and redesign the whole house every time a guest comes in. But here, I had done that anyway. So what do you want me to do now? Change my shalos clothes back into weekday clothes for this person? Really, I should have put Shabbos clothes on for him in the first place. I can't always do that, but now I had them on. So I shouldn't treat him like a mother. This is the big yesod of the Rambam, as explained by Imam Maral, is teaching us. And Avraham Avinu's chiddush in chesed was not the act of chesed, but rather it was his whole approach to chesed. Chesed is not about taking care of people's needs out of compassion. Rather, it's the recognition there's a human being in front of me. Kavod HaBrios is a talmudic. If we come back to our parasha now, this is Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's explanation in the Nesoyin of the Kvura Sar. Sarai Imenu has just passed away. Avraham Avinu was life's partner. Amidst his sorrow and his tsar, and he's been totally wronged by the fact that they want to charge him this ridiculous amount of money for something that was his anyway. And look how he treats Ephraim in the whole story in the B'nai Chais. We don't find any word of complaint. Amongst those circumstances, we would have expected that somebody would have banged his hand on the table and says, Rabbeinu, enough, this is mine, get on with it, give it to me. You can see that his wife is lying there dead. Can't you give me this? Belongs to me anyway. And look how he conducts. Vayishtachu Avraham, he bows down. What are we bowing down for? Because this is how Avraham Avinu conducts himself with other people. Such that the Nesoyan of the Kvura Sara is the culmination of Avraham Avinu's lifetime work of chesed. It's true. He had in the past been in pain. That was the whole story with Malachim last week. This wasn't just in physical pain. This was more severe pain. This was emotional pain. He just lost his Ezer Kenegdo. Under those circumstances, to deal with Ephraim and the B'nai Chais, who are stealing what's rightfully yours, and nonetheless to treat them with such dignity, we don't find any word of complaint. And we might well have expected Avraham to do so. He was in pain, but sorrow, but tsar, they were trying to steal from him. Why didn't he say, finish, listen, give it to me? No, because Avraham Avinu was mechadesh levoy. Avraham Avinu was mechadesh to us a whole different way at the way we look at people. We look at people not as animals. It doesn't matter whether it's lowly, oivei avodah zarah, at least that's what he thought they were, whether it's Ephraim and B'nai Chais who are trying to steal that which is rightfully hers, you always conduct yourself and to them with dignity and with derech kavod. That was the Nesoyan, and that's what we learned from this week's parasha. And in fact, the Loshon of the Pasuk, right at the beginning, is Vayokom Avraham me'al p'nei Mesoy. Literally translated, Avraham rose up from his bed. In other words, his wife was dead and spoke to B'nai Chais. And the Mefarshim explained, Viruchim, do you know what it means, Vayokom? It doesn't mean he literally stood up. It means he elevated himself. He rose above the situation. Me'al p'nei Mesoy. He didn't allow the fact that his own wife, Naboth, was dead in front of him to any way impinge on the way that he dealt with other people. That's what it means. Vayokom, he stood up, not in a physical sense. Rather, he rose up to the occasion. That was Avraham Avinu's chiddush in chesed, and that's what we learn from the Kavura also. This is, of course, a very, very important mussar for us. Undoubtedly, we live in an age, Baruch Hashem, where chesed is, Baruch Hashem, much to be found, and we all are makayim mitzvahs of chesed, but there's a whole different approach in chesed. Somebody knocks on the door, somebody comes to us in shul, somebody approaches us in the street, is it, alright, here, what do you need, now leave me alone? There's a human being in front of me. There's a tzelem aleichem. I'll just finish off with perhaps a comical story, but there's a lot to be learned from it. A wonderful story was Rameya Shapira. Rameya Shapira, the great Shashiva of Chachmei Lublin, the founder of Daf Yomi. He was on a fundraising mission, and he faced yeshiva, and knocked on a wealthy individual's door. The door opens, and this individual looks at Rameya Shapira and says, yes, what do you want? So I'm collecting money for the yeshiva's Chachmei Lublin. And he hurls insults, saying, what are you wasting my time? Or who asked you to open yeshiva in the first place? And who needs them? He slams the door shut and doesn't give him a penny. Rameya Shapira was unperturbed. And he knocks on the door again and yells through the door, I'm not a pregnant woman. Can you imagine hearing this? Yes, open the door again. What on earth would Rameya Shapira mean? Opens the door, Rameya Shapira says, yes, you heard right, I'm not a pregnant woman. He says, what are you talking about? Rameya Shapira, unfazed, going oilam. He says, I'll tell you exactly what I mean. I go fundraising sometimes. As you know, now on occasion I knock on people's door, and I schlepped all the way, and the guy says, I'm sorry, I can't give you any money. I think to myself, I can't believe I've come all this way, it's such a mysterious nefesh, and I got nothing from it. And I think to myself, you know, no, it should be a kapara. It should be a kapara. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes a person gives me a donation, gives me a whole brocha with it as well. Why wasting my time? I don't believe in yeshivas anyway, but alright, here anyway, I give you the money. So I think to myself, you know, it's very nice of him to give me the money, but what do I have to get all the abuse for? So I think to myself, no, it should be a kapara. So sometimes I get a kapara from the fact that I get no money. And sometimes I get a kapara from the fact that I get an insult. What did I get from you? I got no money, and also the insult, so I got two kaparas. Who gets two kaparas? Erev and Kippur, we know, we all do kaparas over our head, and what's the halacha? That a pregnant woman has to take two lots of money, one for her, one for the unborn child. She has two kaparas. Says Ramesh Shapira, I'm not a pregnant woman. I don't need two kaparas. On the spot, the rich man wrote him a check or whatever it was and gave him his job. Well, Hashem, I don't think that we, on the level that we are, the Baza people, the Ponovitcherov, the Eilig of Ponovitcherov, who built up all of Bnei Brak and the Olam HaTorah there, he himself used to say, can you imagine if the Ponovitcherov would knock on our door? The biggest cover we could ever have. Ponovitcherov said, when I knock on somebody's door and he doesn't answer, I breathe a sigh of relief. It's not a gishmaka thing. Anybody who's been involved in fundraising knows. It's not a gishmaka thing. But it would be much more gishmak if we'd learn the lesson of Rav Avinu's lifetime. Schar levoya meruba min hakol. That chesed is not just about taking care of people's needs based on my compassion and rachmanas. It's being makid as a tzelem aleichem. Kovod habrias. And that is the lesson that we learn from this week's parasha from the Kibbur Esav.